So as we're getting started today, let me just say that in life, in general, there is a certain order. And you know that. In life in general, there's an order of things. If you are in employment, there is an order of things. I didn't start off with the government so many years ago and start right out in my supervisory role. I didn't. I had to work my way up to that. I didn't start off as a preacher. I started off as a sinner. And then I got saved. And then God saw me faithful, counted me faithful, putting me into the gospel ministry. But I didn't start off a pastor. I started off a lay preacher, preaching off the pew. And then God led me to another church. And then I pastored there for a while. And then God moved on my heart and I resigned there. And then I come over here and I'm pastoring over here. So what I'm saying is there's a certain order of God's provisions and his holiness and everything. And you're going to see that today as we try to preach this message. And according to God's holy plan, we mess up. You mess up. We all mess up when we get out of God's order. And I'm afraid that in life, we're messing up a lot of things. We're messing it up for future generations. We're messing it up for congregation members that are... Preacher, do you realize if you stayed too long at the church that you were at, that you're not only hurting that church, but you're hurting the one that you're supposed to be at? And if I had overstayed where I was supposed to be at that previous church, then I would not be the pastor of Calvary. And Brother Anthony, that would have hurt that church because I'm staying longer than I should. And then you guys would have suffered because I was supposed to be your pastor and I'm out of God's will. You say, well, God, you're diminishing God. No, I'm saying that God's got an order. And whenever we mess with that order, then we're messing with God. It is God's will. And you can listen to me close. It is God's will for you little children in here to grow up and be Christians. That's God's will. Not willing that any should perish. God wants you to be saved. And young adults, as you are called kids all of your life, when you move into your 20s, and you move into your 30s, it's God's will for you men to find a wife. The Bible said, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. The Bible said that whenever God saw Adam, he said, it's not good for that man to be alone. What'd he do? He made him a wife. He made him a woman. Took the rib of man and made him a wife. That's God's order. And you say, in the latter time, though, preacher's going to be different. I know it's going to be different. The Bible said they will leave their natural affection. And they won't even choose to go that way. The Bible said it would be that way. Natural affection is a little boy's like little girls and little girls like little boys. And that's just a natural thing. That's a natural order of God's, of his word and of his way. You say, what's all this about? We'll get in there in just a minute. I'm just wanting you to show that whenever you get in the way of God, or you put yourself in a position of God, and you say, you're going to do this or you're not going to do that, you're taking the place of God. Look at Abraham. Was Abraham not promised that he'd have many generations? Was he not promised that he'd have the sand of the sea? Then what happened? Whenever he don't have any children, what's happened, brother? What'd he do? He got out of order. You said, well, how'd he do that? He took Hagar's handmaiden and he bore a child, and that child's name is Ishmael. And you don't think but the Ishmaelites didn't work through the Amalekites all the way down through the Philistines? Brother, they've been haters of God ever since. Why? Because it was outside of God's natural order. It wasn't the way that God intended. God then came unto Sarah and said, Sarah, are you going to have a child? And she said, what? I'm an old man. Even laughed at God. But God said, hey, this is my natural order. This is what I've got planned. And whenever you go with God, it'll be right. God bless Abraham and Sarah, and they birthed a child by the name of who? Come on, folks. Y'all know this. This is elementary. His name was Isaac, and he was the promised one. He's the one that whenever God told Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, up onto Mount Moriah and offer him there for a sacrifice and a burnt offering, he didn't say, go get one of your sons. He recognized Isaac as being his son, his only son. That's what he said. He said, you take thy son, thine only son. Then how come God did not honor or recognize Ishmael as being the son of Father Abraham? Because it was out of order. It was not the way that God had planned. And I'm telling you this right now. Parents, you can preempt your children by getting in front of them and getting outside of God's natural order. Young people, listen to me. The Bible says for you to leave your mother and father. The Bible said you cleave unto one another. Let me tell you, one of the greatest things I think that could have ever happened to me as a young man. I was 19 years old and already married. Brother, I was in the military. But one of the greatest things that happened to Miss Cindy Hall and myself was that we lived 1,894 miles away from here. Do you know why, Brother Varun? Because there was no influence. You know what? If me and Mama had a crossword, which we didn't, the first crossword we ever had, it's the common argument of this day. Say that into my microphone.
Where do you want to go eat?
That's the first one. I kid you not. We're driving down Highway 44 in Rapid City, South Dakota, and I'm asking her, where do you want to go eat? And she said, I don't care. There should be a restaurant in every town called I Don't Care. That would be the busiest restaurant of any restaurant in America. Why? Because that's where everybody would go. Where you want to go, Amanda? I don't care. Boom, pull in here. Miss Shirley, where you want to go? I don't care. Boom, go. We pulled into the Kmart shopping center, cut the car off. At that time, it was a Ford Ranger truck. Pulled in there and cut the thing off, and we sat there in silence. Am I right or wrong? We sat there. You say, well, preacher, finish this story off. Scott says, finish this story off. Preacher, where'd you eat? Guess where we ate, Brother Gerald? We went home. Yep. We went home. I probably had Viannas. That's where it all started. But you say, what's that all about, preacher? I'm saying in the natural order of things, I was supposed to leave Wayne and Joanne Hall. And I was supposed to cleave unto Miss Cindy, and we're supposed to be a happily married couple, and we're supposed to live in wedded bliss and never have a crossword, and everything's going to be just perfect, and everything's going to be that way. And you know what, brother? Living 1,894 miles away from Thurman, North Carolina, it sure helped. Yes. Yes. I'm serious. Preacher's agreeing with me. Now listen, you can be living in mom and daddy's doorstep, you can be living behind their house, and you can be totally in God's will. Or it might take something greater than that to happen. You said, where's all this going? It's in Daniel. You said, in Daniel chapter 5, it's in there, watch. Let's stand and give reverence to the reading of God's word. I'll preach a whole message and won't even get where we're going. But listen to me, it is God's will that your kids find a mate, fall in love. Get married. Procreate. Is that a word? You better believe that it is. God put it in the Bible that men and women, Brother Kenny, were what? To plenish the earth. We're supposed to procreate. And then, well, how else are we going to get godly generations of other godly children if the godly people don't get married and have children? That's what God intended. That is His natural order. There's an order of government. There's an order of generations. There's all kinds of order in life, and we must follow that natural order. And whenever something happens to preempt that, the whole plan gets awry. Please don't follow that with me. Belshazzar, chapter 5, verse 1 of Daniel, the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar's, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought in the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and the princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods, not God, not a big G, that's a little G. They praised the gods of what? Of gold and of silver and of brass and of wood and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And he saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. And you'll go and read that they brought Daniel in, and Daniel did and do the interpretation. But as it stands right now, we'll stop our reading right there. I'm going to ask Brother Kenny to bless us and bless the scripture today and bless our message as the Lord would provide. The title of the message today is going to be something like this: When God Puts His Finger on Your Sin. You said, I thought it was going to be about natural order. It's all in here. Just listen as we try to bring the message today. In this passage of scripture, I want you to see the order of sin. I want you to see how that the thing went from bad to worse. I want you to see how it just kept going. And that's the way it is, Brother Jody. A lot of times somebody won't do something to just plunge head first into sin. It'll be just a simple glimpse. It'll be a simple taste. It'll be a simple touch. It'll be a simple fix. And the next thing you know, somebody is in way deeper than they ever planned on getting. It starts here. If you were to look in chapter number 5, the Bible said that Belshazzar in verse number 2, that he tasted. It said he first tasted the wine. Usually it begins with some kind of a innocuous. It's just innocent. It's not really meant to be anything. But the next thing you know, they're in a little bit further. The Bible said that whenever Peter got out of the boat, the Lord said, he said, if that's you, bid me to come unto thee. The Bible said, I'm getting out of the boat. And Peter went out. But the Bible said then that Peter, he took his eyes off the Lord and beginning to sink. It didn't say he went under kerplunk. It said beginning to sink. When did he begin to sink? He began to sink, Brother John, when he took his eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ and saw them on his circumstances. But I'm glad that it said, and Peter beginning to sink. It did not say that Peter sank. It said the beginning to sink. Well, here we see Belshazzar, and we look in verse number 2, that he first tasted of the wine. And that's the way that a lot of time that it is. The devil will use these little teasers. He'll use these little subtle, almost innocent looking ways of soliciting you to get you to become a partaker in some time of sin. And once you do that, and when you start progressing into that sin, Brother Joe, you can mess up God's natural order of what he designed for your home, for your family, for your marriage, for the church house. Bless God, those churches in Wilkes County, don't you fall out with me for saying it, but there's churches in Wilkes County that have gotten out of the will of God and broken God's natural order by putting women on their deacon boards. That should not happen, my friend, not according to your King James Bible. It's out of order when you do that. The Bible said in the early church to look you out 7 men. Did it not say that, preacher? That they are filled with the Holy Ghost. And when a church starts doing that, they get out of God's natural order. Well, how did it start? They saw a sister, Sam, or it could be sister this or sister that. And the next thing you know, they're upright at heart. They're always there. I mean, they are devout. They're holy. They're just. They pray heaven now. And they're holy people. Well, you know what? She's doing better than most of the men around here. And the next thing you know, Satan says, yes, yeah, she is, ain't she? And the next thing you know, somebody said, you know what? We'll just make Miss Jean one of our deacons. She's wanting to be one all them years anyway. Miss Cleith always wanted to be a deacon or the associate pastor. Why don't we just put her on? She's faithful. We just go ahead and make Jean a deaconess. And the next thing you know, as innocent as it seemed, bless God, you're getting outside of God's natural order inside of the church house. And it's just clearly wrong. Like it or lump it, take it or leave it, it's wrong. Belshazzar, it just started with a simple taste. It started with just a simple taste of the wine in verse number 2. So then you say, well, what did he do beyond that? The Bible said, and 2, the very next part after the Bible said, while he tasted, what did he say? He commanded that the temple vessel be brought in. One thing, it starts with just something so simple. The next thing you know, the king is making commands. The one that's in charge is making demands and commands. And I'm telling you what, you start demanding something from God, Brother John, he just might give it to you. He might give you your folly. He might give you that to show you that what you have done was folly and that it's against my order. You know what's going to happen at the end of that day, brother? It's not going to play out very well for you. It's not going to be beneficial for you. Look at Samson. If you need a picture, an illustration of somebody that God had his hand on. I mean, God was blessing this man. I bless God, but what happened? He went the wrong way. He laid his head in the lap of sin, and brother Tim, it cost him greatly. It cost him dearly. And bless God, to me, it looked like it messed up the natural order of what God was going to use for Samson. But God still prevails. He can take my folly, he can take my failings, he can take my wife, he can take anything, but he's still going to get glory out of it because he's God. He then did what? He moves from tasting. He moves from making a command and actually putting hands on. He said, command to those vessels. And then because of that, they're just frolicking and playing and laughing and having a festive time. And then they start praising their money. They start praising their gods. It wasn't just any old thing. It said they started out praising the gods of gold and of silver. They're praising the things that they have in their hand. And bless God, God can remove anything that we put before a thrice holy God. He can take that out of our way. And that's exactly what was about to happen to Belshazzar here. If you don't believe it, keep reading. Over while he's praising and frolicking, while he's over there, Brother Archie, and he's just having himself a good old time. He's got wives and concubines. In other words, it's nothing more than a big old fest, and sin is the center of it all. And then all of a sudden, the fingers of a man's hand over against the plaster on the wall. Where was it? Was it in a shady place on the temple wall? No, brother, the Bible said it was over against the lampstand. Where was it, Brother Tim? It was right in the light. And I'm telling you what, when sin is brought into light, sin must be dealt with. You read along with me there. The Bible said in the same hour, it wasn't some 3 weeks later, Brother John, it was right then and there. Brother Dane, it was right then and there. Did you hear me? It was right then that the hand come and rolled over against us. In the same hour, the Bible said, came forth the fingers of a man's hand, and they rolled over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall. He didn't hide it in a corner. Bless God, Brother Greg, he put it right against the light. And whenever the light calls something into view, brother, it must then be dealt with. When God calls your sin into view, you must deal with that sin at that particular time. Why? Because he's just called it out on you. You're going to have now to contend with it. Goes back to your testimony. I'm glad I got lost. What did he do? He called your sin into light during the darkness of the night when there's nothing else going on. He called you to record. He exposed it by his marvelous light. He is light. Go with me just a minute to chapter 33 of the book of Ezekiel. Don't even know why we were going here, except the Lord said, go to Ezekiel 33. Let me just do this. It would be very easy for me to preach a message, and this lady lives with me. For 32 years, she's been my wife. It'd be very easy for her to say, I've heard all this before. I live with you. Your testimony means nothing to me. No, she respects me, Brother John, as her husband. But I believe she respects me as her pastor. I believe that. She doesn't just respect me as her pastor, but she respects me as a man of God, as a man of faith. Miss Juanita, would your son, she would respect him as both a husband, but also as the pastor or the man of God that he had placed in her life. This young lady right here at, what, 22, 3, 4, I don't know how old you are now. It's hard. When you get my age, you'll understand. It would be very easy to say, Daddy's just beating us up. It'd be very easy for Jake to say, my father-in-law's mad at me. I'm not mad at anybody. What God has revealed in my heart today is that there is an order of things to come. And when that order gets out and God exposes something, then you must deal with whatever he exposes. And Daniel was the one that was going to do the interpreting, but it was God that did the writing. It was God that did the writing. Did you hear me, brother? It was God that did the writing. And if ever you start thinking, well, the preacher's just mad at it, I'm not mad at anybody. Can you not see the smile on my face? I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just trying to tell you that when you refuse to hear me and I start hearing like Charlie Brown's teacher, and that's what you're hearing. Wah, 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 wah. That's all you're hearing. That's what the Bible said in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 33. I'm going to read 3 verses unto you. The Bible said these words, Brother John, Ezekiel 33. Go ahead and find your place, John. You got it. You're still flipping. Chapter 33, in verse number 31, the Bible said, they come unto thee as people cometh, and they set before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. Y'all are here. You have come before him. You're in his house, hearing his man preach his word, and you ought to hear it as such. But look what it says. He said, they come before me, and they set before thee as my people. They hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts go out, goeth out after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a lovely song. Brother, they hear me as a lovely mouthpiece of God. They hear it as some soliloquy. They hear it as some great swelling words. And they just leave here. And people can leave here feeling all warm and fuzzy. Just like a warm diaper. And they just all filled up. And they just all warm and all fuzzy. But the Bible said that whenever they hear it as just an old song, he said, and thou... thou art to them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Listen at the next verse, Brother Kenny, every preacher that's ever stood in the pulpit of America ought to just take pleasure in knowing what God wrote in the very next verse. And when this cometh to pass, what's them next four? Lo, it will come. Then they shall know that a prophet hath been among them. What's that? What was the prophet in that day? You say you're a prophet? No, I'm a preacher. I'm a modern day preacher. I'm a pastor of the cross. But in that day, Brother John, he used prophets to warn the people. Ezekiel 33 opens up with a discourse about, man, you're a watchman on the wall. The same chapter I'm in. Go back and read it. But even as he's declaring unto them that you are to warn the people, tell the story, sing the song, shout it out, warn the people. Because if you don't, the blood's on your hand. But if you do and they fail to hear you, then that's on them. But for you, you just keep on singing. And the Bible then tells us that they're not going to hear it, which tells me that you probably will hear it, but you won't obey what I'm preaching to today. But I'm telling you the truth. There is an order to things in God's kingdom. I'm going back to the early part. Go back to Exodus just a minute. Go back to Exodus chapter number 8 just a minute. I'm trying to slow down. Y'all live the way I try to slow down? Are y'all all right? All right. There was an order to things. The children of Israel ended up down in bondage. We know that story. They end up in Egypt. Why'd they go down there? That was the providence of God that took them down there. God led them down there. And when he led them down there, what did he do? Brother, he had already sent a young man by the name of Joseph ahead of them. Why? That he might have food. They could give grain. And how'd he get there? He just walked up to Pharaoh and said, hey, I'm Joseph. I'm from the land of Israel. I'm a descendant of a wise and mighty man. My daddy gave me a coat of many colors. And because of that, here I am. I stand before you. Put me over something. Give me in some charge. No. Daddy loved him. Brothers envied him, threw him in a pit, drew him up. Thank God I got out of the pit, sold him into slavery to the Midianite merchant men. Bless God, I'm starting to get exalted. I feel good. They've just played a trick on me. They threw me in that dry well. They got me out of there. Old Reuben saw, he saw something in me. He said, I'm going to get that old boy out of there. We ain't going to let him perish down in there. And bless God, next thing you know, they sold him. Here he goes again. He's just like this. He's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. He's starting to find favor. He ends up in prison. And next thing you know, he ends up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's treating him well. Potiphar's wife frames him. What happened? Bless God, that boy had some troubles. But God took him to where he wanted to. He didn't walk a straight line there, though, did he? He had some ups and downs, some struggles to get there. Well, it comes now to the book where I just had you turn to, the 8th chapter of the book of Exodus. We got to get out of there. There was an order of that. God said, I'm going to send a man down there. Who'd he send? He sent Moses. Said, let the people go. Hardened his heart. Wouldn't come. Wouldn't let them go. God finally ended up hardening his heart. Early on, the Bible said that Pharaoh hardened his heart. You know what? Later on, God hardened his heart. Well, on the third plague, that being lice, according to the word of God, it was, in some interpretations, will say gnats. I don't care if it was a gnat, a flea, a tick, or what it was. The Bible says lice. I'm just going to go with lice. I've never had lice. Some people might have. I don't like gnats. I don't like ticks. I don't like chiggers or flies. Them things used to get in when I was picking blackberries, and brother, they'd get right in your belly button. They'd burrow up in there. Next thing you know, you're clawing at it, trying to get it out. You couldn't get it out. Mom put sweet oil in there and put a kerosene and turpentine and any other kind of polish that she could get in there. She'd mix up about 53 different things, put it in there. Next thing you know, your belly button rotted out and it killed the chiggers. End result was the same. It was awful, but that's just the way it worked. Here we are at the third plague. And I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang on a minute. The Bible said in chapter number 8 of the book of Exodus, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land that it may become lice. The dust became lice. That's a lot of dust. There had to be a lot of lice or gnats or ticks or fleas or whatever y'all want to call them. The Bible says it was lice. Mine's got a footnote that says it was gnats. I don't care what it was. The Bible said lice. We're going to go with lice. The Bible said that the lice were, the dust became lice. And they did go, they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with a rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in the beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout the land of Egypt. Can you imagine how dry and dusty and parched that Egypt is and all their dust? He didn't say some of the dust, he said all the dust became lice. But here's where we're going. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and upon beast. Then the magicians. This ain't the people of God. This is the magicians. Do you realize that Satan knows who God is? Brother, do you realize that Satan himself knows who the Lord Jesus is? Was it not the Satan himself that led our Savior out there to be tempted? Was it not the Spirit of God that led him out there, but it was Satan waiting on him that tempted him? You better believe that it was. Satan's out there, hey, throw yourself down. Cast yourself down here. Command that these stones be made bread. It was Satan on the mix. Here we've got the magicians. And look what it says. The magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So what are you saying, preacher? Even the magicians, even those that were not under the control or authority of Almighty God, even they recognized the finger of God. Even they recognized. So now, go fast forward back to the book of Daniel. And I want to give you this real quick and we'll get out of here. I want you to see what that finger was. And I want that finger to be the finger on your sin today. I want that finger to be on your home today. I want that finger to be on this house of God today. I want this finger to be on our heritage. I want it to be on each and every one of us. We've all got people in our life that we should be handing something down to. You've got your arm around one, Brother Greg. You've got a little girl by the name of Nicole. She needs to know that mom and daddy love God and that God has been real in your life. And Lisa needs to know that God's been real in your life. Bless God, we need to know these things and they need to know these things. When it gets out of order is whenever it becomes a problem. That finger that Daniel interpreted, but that finger that Belshazzar saw writing against the wall was a finger of condemnation. You said, how do you see it as a finger of condemnation? What did they do? They took the temple vessels, that which belonged in what? The temple. What are we in the New Testament, my children? Know you not that your body is the temple? And whenever we relinquish that of the temple under that of Satan, my friends, we're in for a desperate awakening. We're waking up, brother. We're going to realize sometime that we woke up too late. And when you wake up too late, Brother John, you'll cry too late. Because the Bible said that there was in the New Testament writing that he would have repented, though he sought it earnestly with tears. It was too late. He cried too late. You said, what's that all about? It was a finger of condemnation. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, I think that it is. There is there now for no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. But what did that say to the lost person? Is that 8:1, or did I just misquote the Bible? Huh? It was right. That says there is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in Christ Jesus. If you're not saved, you are not in Christ Jesus, and he is not in you. Therefore, that means you are still under condemnation. Read John chapter number 3, and the Bible says in verse number 17, right below the most beloved verse in the Bible, they are already condemned. Amen. That finger of condemnation has been scratching and scrawling something on the wall over there. Tekel, tekel, mene, upharsin. What is that, preacher? Daniel interprets to say your kingdom's divided. What's a kingdom? I tell you what my kingdom is right now. As a pastor of this church, you're part of my little kingdom. You're part of my little vineyard. You said, are you out of order? No, because God is the husband. I'm right under him. And then that's the order of things. And so is the husband, so is the wife, and so is the rest. But let me tell you, my friend, God's order is broken when these things get out of whack. That finger of condemnation was putting the finger right on Belshazzar's sin for this big orgy that he had, this big fest that he's had, this big drunkenness that he's had. He's put his finger on it. God is fingering out the sin of this man. So yeah, it was a finger of condemnation. God was condemning his actions to say that I'm not pleased with you, Belshazzar. You say, well, Belshazzar's forefather was none other than Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, well, how did he do in the sight of God? Yeah, how did he do? You say, not so well. I always say the nut never falls far from the tree. Bless God, you better be careful because Jesse's watching you. You ever seen that picture in the snow or picture in the sand where daddy's walking, and as daddy's walking, sometimes you'll see the little kid and he's trying to stretch out there to get in his daddy's footprint. He said, walk a little straighter, daddy, because somebody's following you. We would do well. Miss Cindy and I sat for over an hour, hour and a half the other night talking to Brother Feldman. And when we made a visit, I'm telling you what, Brother Kenny, if there's any regret in my ministry so far, it's that I haven't spent 11 years sitting down there talking to that man. I don't spend enough time with him. You said, well, the church is pretty healthy. We're doing okay, preacher. Brother Kenny, I could have done a lot better. You said, yeah, but God didn't have Feldman here ministering. He's got you here. I know that, but I could have gleaned a lot from that old saint of God. I'm being honest with you. I could have learned a lot from him. He starts talking about things that I don't really understand, using terminology I don't understand. Preacher, once in a while, you just got to have a good old backdoor revival. You said, what? Yeah, that's what your man of God, former man of God said. What's he talking about? The same thing that he said. Well, some of them, preacher, they're going to leave you. And they're going to look better leaving than they ever did coming. All these words are going in my ear. I'm like, what? He said, yo, they're going to hurt you, but don't let it hurt you. What is all that? He's saying that it's going to hurt your heart when they leave. Don't let it hurt your ministry. But brother, there is an order of things here, and God's trying to keep it right. He's trying to keep it just. He's trying to keep it holy. And I should look at that way as the church house, Brother John. But I should look at that as my household. I got to make sure that whenever we were raising two daughters, that I didn't have something that would come in and defile my household in my marriage. It's got to be that way between me and Miss Cindy. The Bible said that marriage is honorable in all things, but the bed is undefiled. Bless God, it can't be defiled, bless God, if it's centered around God.
Yes.
There was a finger of condemnation that rode over against that lampstick, that candlestick, that lampstand on the wall. It was a message, a finger, a writing of also of conviction. Miss Laura talked in her testimony. I'm thankful for that testimony. Do you see how important? Do y'all see how important it is for somebody to testify? I've already referred to it twice. You said, yeah, you planned all that out. You told Miss Laura before the service, you testify about, you tell Scott to sing that song, let her testify. I don't work this stuff up. I pray this stuff down. She wouldn't be singing that old love song if conviction had to come in your way. You've got to get lost before you get found. But that finger of condemnation shows a lost man where he's at. Right behind that, Brother Jody, comes a finger of conviction. You know what the finger of conviction is, Varun? It's when God puts that big finger of his, that holy finger, that just finger on the pulse of your soul. And he convicts you of your sin. It's then that you realize, hey, that preacher's preaching to me. That preacher's preaching to me today. That preacher's preaching to my household. That preacher's preaching to my marriage. That preacher's preaching to my church. That preacher's preaching to my life. And whenever that stuff starts to happen, God's got his finger right where he wants it. On the pulse of your sin. It might not be a conviction for salvation. It could be more of a finger of chastisement. That chastening rod of God is there for those that are saved and already born again. But bless God, he will chasten you.
Yes.
Brother Kenny, I see people quite often that say they've not been to church in 40 years, but they swear up and down they're saved. They tell me they're saved. Either the book's wrong or they're wrong. And I'll give you this, Miss Jessica, the book's not wrong. The Bible said that he brings chastisement unto those that are his. And if they're not his, then he's not going to chasten them. I don't go around here beating your youngins. Why? Because they're not my youngins. Have I ever in my life whooped Ava? I've not, and I won't. Why? Because she's not my child. But to those that the Lord loveth, he does what? He chasteneth. He does that. So it was a finger of condemnation. It was a finger of conviction. It's a finger of chastisement. It's a finger, Brother John, of change and of conversion. If you keep looking, you said, did Belshazzar get saved? No, but look, it did change him. He did not get saved, but it changed him. Look at chapter number 5, verse number 9. The Bible said, then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled. What's that all about? He was condemned. He was convicted. And the Bible then said that his countenance was what? He was changed. He was changed, and he was changed right quickly. What did it, preacher? The Bible said the same hour as the finger wrote against the walls when the change came. And you said, what about the conversion? I want to show you something. Verse number 23 said, this is the interpretation. I'll get 22 and 23. But thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart. My friends, you can't come with pride in your heart up here. Miss Becky, Miss Ruby, Miss anybody, Miss Ginger, Miss Tammy, Miss Ann. We can't come up here with boastful, prideful heart and ask God, save me. That's not going to happen. You'll come with a broken spirit and a contrite heart in humility. You'll crawl to the altar of God and you'll be birthed through the womb of grace in humility. It'll be that way, because here he said, Belshazzar, he said, you've not humbled your heart. Thou knewest all this, but thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver, gold, brass, wood, iron, wood, and stone, which they see not, and hear not, know, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is. You see what Daniel's doing? The one that gives you the very breath that you're breathing. The one that made it possible for you to sit on a pew today. The one that made it possible for us to get here today. The one that gave us, Brother Kenny, the ability to live uprightly or to just totally forsake him. Nobody's making you walk the straight and narrow. Nobody. You know why you do it? You do it out of devotion to your father. I hear you talk a lot about your mom and your daddy. I hear you talk about their influence. But greater than a Mr. and Mrs. Anderson, you've got an almighty God that's got his finger on your life. Amen. And you walk under that conviction. You walk under that is what you walk under. Cindy and I had a tree last night. Jody, stand up. Cindy and I had a tree last night. If Jody and I tried our best to reach around that thing, we wouldn't be able to reach around it. It's about that big. I didn't know. It was about 12:04. I thought it was ice falling from the ice maker. I just heard something. And I thought it was the ice maker dropping its load of ice. I just kind of heard it and just, I listened for a minute to see if the water was going to fill back up, because it'll, didn't hear that. Didn't know what it was. We were coming out of our driveway. Pulling out the end of my driveway, I looked left so I can turn right to come up the street. Now that tree had fallen across the road right up above our house. Brother Kenny, if that tree had fell the other direction, guess what? Y'all would have been needing another pastor today, because it would have fell and it would have took out my bedroom. It was a big old tree. You say, what's that all about, preacher? I'm saying that there's an order of things. There's a certain order of things. And whenever I read this right here, and it said, thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord. I don't want to lift myself up before God. I don't want to worship other things. And the Bible said, who's God? And the God in whose hand thy breath is. God's not done with me yet. If he was, he would have took me. That tree would have come the other way. My life, my very breath, my very being is in Christ Jesus. The purpose of me being here today preaching this message is because God sent me, Brother Danny. Daniel's putting it right on Belshazzar. He said that these gods that you serve, these money chasers, these things that you've got before you, this wine, taking the vessel temple, the temple vessels, and then you worshiping these gods of silver, worshiping these gods of gold, all these things, they can't see, they can't hear, they don't know anything, and which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him with the writing was written. And this writing was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And the interpretation is this, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Thou art weighed in the balances, and thou art found wanting. And thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, they clothed Daniel the scarlet, put a chain about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be third ruler of the kingdom. And listen at this. That night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, 62 years old. Brother Scott, get us that song of invitation. If today God has put his finger on your sin, and it is a finger of conviction, act upon that conviction. If God has put his finger in a manner of condemnation, What he's saying is, don't keep doing that, James. What he's saying, don't keep doing that. You're under my condemnation when you're doing that I've told you not to do. You're trespassing my law. You're violating what I've told you to do. You are sinning. Don't do that. That's a finger of condemnation. Then he puts the finger of conviction, saying, you can get out from under that condemnation. You don't have to stay under that heavy hand of God. There's a way out. And the way is goes by the cross. There's a way out from under that conviction, out from under that condemnation. Yeah, and even out from under the conviction, Brother Jody, to be saved by God's grace. I've been under some chastisement many times, but I've never been convicted to the point of my salvation. Brother Tim, that was a one-time deal, thank God. Brother Kenny, he could have killed me. I thought my heart was going to explode. I sit there and sit there and sit there, and the preacher kept saying, somebody needs to come. Somebody needs to come. Song leader saying, one more verse of number 44. Brother, I was under some heavy conviction. Why? Because I was under some heavy condemnation. And like I said, I've been under some chastisement in my life. But I thank God for my conversion. And what have you got, brother?